Hello and welcome to episode 23 of Pod Z CCG. This is Brandon.
This is Brad.
So what's going on, guys? Yeah, I hear you. What?
Are you talking to the audience?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I'm interacting with them.
I don't think they'll be able to tell you what's going on in like 0.5 seconds.
Oh.
I could add like more space in there if you want.
No, that's all right. I'm sure they're okay with that.
Yeah. Pod ZCCG, welcome to our latest episode for the best podcast. I'd say the best podcast in the world. Not even just Dragon Ball, but all around.
Right, like Adam who?
Adam who? Adam Carr?
No, what's the name? Adam Kimmel.
Adam Kimmel, yeah, way better than that hack.
Yeah. So what we're going to talk to you about today is we have a pretty cool story from back in the Square Z days where we went to a regional in San Francisco. We also are going to bring up our top three worst ultra rares of Panini.
Oh, man.
And also we're going to talk about the recent Win a Sphere tournament that happened in Vacaville in Forgotten Path Games. We're also going to talk about what? Yajirobe?
Yajirobe spoiler.
Okay.
But let's get into that Vacaville tournament. I have to say, that's one of the nicest game shops in California, really.
I'd say in the world.
Well, Wild Things Games.
A close second to Wild Things Games is a close second to Forgotten Path.
Wild Things has a second story game room where you could go hide out in between matches.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
That's like the best.
But you know what they don't have?
Russ.
And Lance.
Exactly.
The owners of Forgotten Path Games. Pretty cool guys.
And Wild Things Game doesn't have Matt Ribeiro.
No. They did that one time.
Yeah, but not on a regular basis.
No. Whenever you show up to Forgotten Path and you see Matt Ribeiro, a.k.a., as my son calls him, the Will Ferrell lookalike, you're going to have a pleasant day.
Your heart just skips a beat.
Seriously.
You all of a sudden get in a better mood.
Whenever I see him like one of my posts on Facebook, I get so giddy. But let's talk about this tournament. 36 people showed up?
Yeah, something like that.
And then they did 6 rounds, cut to top 8.
Want to throw out some names there of who showed up?
Yeah, let's do that. Of course, due to contractory binds, we have to shout out Dustin Collins first. Owner of California Kame House with his Black Roshi deck. Recently, I saw him on an episode of Man vs. Food. It was hilarious because my wife and I watched that show on Netflix. And the host,
Adam Richmond,
was going through San Luis Obispo. And basically, he just goes to different eateries and does all the food challenges, like eat the biggest burrito in under whatever minutes. And he was in San Luis Obispo, and all of a sudden, I really wasn't paying attention. I saw Dustin on the screen.
A young, strapping Dustin.
Yeah, and it was funny because my wife was telling me how sick she was, and I said, "Holy shit, that's Dustin!" And she was like, "You didn't get that excited when I told you I was sick."
Well, why would you get excited over a sick wife?
Yeah, like, you're not supposed to be excited. Oh, you're sick? Good. You're going to die?
Yeah.
No. So, basically, he was on there because he had won the challenge previously, and he was just talking about what you had to do.
Yeah.
So, you basically had to eat a 4-pound sandwich, and if you beat the record of time-wise, you eat free every Friday.
For what?
Until someone else breaks
the record. Are you serious? Yeah. Wow.
So, Dustin ate it in under 42 minutes, or 42 minutes, and he was hoping the guy did not break the record. I don't remember the outcome, if he broke it or not, but
yeah, Dustin could eat. He's a giant.
Yeah.
We went to that sandwich shop next to Forgotten Pass, and he ordered like 2-foot-longs.
Diggers.
Yeah, and he straight up just ate them because Jordan owed him money.
Yeah, he said, "I'm going to get the most expensive thing on the menu," and he got it. $20 sandwich, and Jordan was like, "Really? $20?
And he was still hungry. He also ate some deviled eggs and something else, some chips. That boy could eat. He's a giant.
Yeah.
Not even fair to food challenges.
So, who else was there?
Blake Barton.
Blake Barton.
He actually knocked Jordan out of top eight contention.
Oh, did he?
On round five.
Oh, six or five?
Six. Because Jordan misplayed.
Oh, he misplayed so bad. He got that Bartholomew cockiness.
He thought he had that game in the bag.
So what happened was he was at garlic level four with, what, four anger?
Yeah.
And Jordan had ball sevened.
Yeah.
In combat. So it was Blake's combat. He ball sevened and Jordan put red blazing aura.
And then, like, two cards that don't give him any
anger. Red stop.
Uh-huh.
And something else. So Jordan thought, all I have to do is enter with red blazing aura and get the fifth anger next combat. What was in his discard pile? Sand Destiny.
Red Destiny.
Red Destiny was in there.
There were cards with raise your anger twice, like even that knee lift, I think. He could have relaxationed.
Yeah.
Red relaxation.
So what happened was Jordan entered combat and Blake said, okay, hold on a minute. I'm going to activate Yamcha level 2.
Oh, he hecka threw a Yu-Gi-Oh in there.
So he banished two cards, got an energy combat card, and lowered Jordan's anger one. And you just saw Jordan like get...
The air went out of his sails.
Yeah, he got hit in the stomach so hard. So, of course, he used the Blazing Aura to go up in anger. And then Blake just beat him down.
Yep.
So if he would have just got a Destiny and entered with that, then he would have won.
But good job for Blake for making it that far.
Yeah, he made top eight.
Yep.
Buck Lane was also there.
Yep. Western Kai podcast?
Yes. Western Kai podcast. He ended up winning the whole thing. If you want to hear more about his story, you could check out his podcast. It's called Western Kai. He just put up a fourth episode this past weekend talking about the 5 points of being a good player. So if you want to be a good player, go in and listen to it.
Got some really good tips on there.
Yeah.
For all your newbies out there just getting into the game. Give it a listen. Junior
was there trying so hard, a.k.a. the kid. He was trying so hard to get one of us to fill out his deck list for him because he's slow at handwriting. Kelly Cartwright Jr. was there. Mark was there who took second.
Yeah, with his original Saiyan deck, Saiyan.
Did Blake come with anyone?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
Ferris Wally was there.
Yeah.
Talking about how he doesn't like Playful Punch. Well, he likes it, but he doesn't think it has good value. In a Ginyu deck, though, that has such great value.
It does. In a Tien, I could see you might passing it on, but with Ginyu, you need those stages. It happened so many times where I would trick someone at like a local. I would, use
Ginyu. Well, it's not hard to trick someone at a local. That's come true. On.
I would Ginyu.
Especially at flashbacks.
I would Ginyu I would Ginyu for three stages, be at zero, and pull Raccoon. I said, I guess I'll designate Raccoon even though I'm at zero stages. And then they would attack, and I would either block with Playful Punch, or I would use that next turn and gain five stages, and boom, Raccoon's activated to its full potential.
So let's talk about these three comic shops in NorCal real quick. I actually compared them to, pardon the Yu-Gi-Oh term, but in Yu-Gi-Oh GX, they have the three houses.
Yeah.
The Slifer Red.
Raw Yellow.
Raw Yellow, Obelisk Blue. So Slifer Red's obviously flashbacks.
Is that like the
that's the bunk.
Mental hospital?
What's his name? Chumley, the guy who looks like a koala. Yeah, that's...
That's where all the rejects get put, right?
Oh, man. And Jordan loves going there.
Because he's the king of the castle there.
Oh, man. So, yeah, flashbacks is definitely Slifer Red. Obelisk Blue is obviously Vacaville. They're the high end. And Avram's Adventures is a Raw Yellow.
You would think Raw would be the greatest because it has the biggest power, but I guess not. It's Obelisk?
Obelisk is, I think, the main one.
Okay.
I mean, don't get me wrong. Flashbacks is a cool shop, but definitely go there if you're a beginner to get some learning experiences in.
And we also have to talk about the guys who came down from Yuba City this past week for our
tournament. Oh, definitely. Rick Ketchum. Do you think Ketchum's his real last name?
I don't know. That'd be an amazing coincidence.
Yeah.
Then there is also Anthony. I don't know what's his last name.
And Buddy.
And Buddy.
Buddy was playing the Red Garlic. Anthony was playing... You played against him.
Blue 17.
And Rick was playing his Orange Raditz.
Yeah.
Those guys always come down with original decks, and they seem to flow really good.
It's because I don't think they have internet out there, so they can't net deck. No, we're just playing with you guys. We love when you guys come down. It's always good to see you.
Really good company, too. Yeah. They're all really nice. And you see Rick's deck beat Black Krillin.
Yeah.
It beat down Kelly Cartwright's Black
Krillin. It was his Orange 18.
Yeah.
So... thanks for coming out, guys. You make the tournaments extremely fun. What were you talking about?
Vacaville.
We're talking about the
Sphere tournament.
Yeah.
How Buck Lane won it all.
Yeah.
No Matt Rudd this time, though.
No.
Chess champion Matt Rudd.
Yeah. I'm not sure. Hopefully he'll be at the Case tournament and we could see him again, because it's always fun to see him.
Yeah.
He's always happy and jolly. And
see, it's real nice to see everybody who's in a good mood and positive. When you get those negative Nellies out there, you just want to punch them in the face.
Yeah, that's like that's a Magic crowd and the Yu-Gi-Oh crowd. They're always
rowdy and rough and like pissed off because they're still living with their mom.
Yeah, and they're always just like trying to hide their deck secrets and talking about mythic rares and all this other stuff I don't understand. Pendulum monsters.
Oh, don't even get me started on pendulum monsters. Brandon brought up how Yu-Gi-Oh has something called a pendulum monster. And I went over to the Yu-Gi-Oh guys.
Because I didn't know how they worked. I just remember seeing them like, that's weird.
Yeah, so I just went over them like, hey guys, how do pendulum monsters work? And they're like, which one? I was like, I don't know any of them. Like they're all different.
It's funny because you told me to ask Monster Bill if he would know, and I was like, "There's no way he would know because
he plays Yu-Gi-Oh."
I was like, "There's no way." And then so you asked him, and what did he say?
He said, "Ask that guy next to me. I don't know anything about pendulum monsters."
It's tight. So, yeah, it seems DBZ has the greatest crowd. They're always happy to see each other. There's no bad blood. Maybe Edison Carrizio, who's like a dick on the forums. He's quiet in real life. So
yeah, I bet you in real life he's like cool.
Yeah, we saw him at ARG.
Did we?
Yeah. I asked Bondi, I said, because he said Edison is here. And I said, who's that? He's like, why do you have beef with them? I said, no.
Why do you have beef? Like, you're going to go beat them down?
And so he pointed them out. I was like, oh, okay. And he was just like a loner type, so.
Okay.
Big man on the internet, Edison.
Anything else about the World's Fair tournament? We know Dustin bubbled again.
Oh, he was so mad. And why did he bubble?
Because Jordan lost.
No, because Jordan beat Dustin. Yeah. And then, like, lost all his other matches.
Well, Jordan would have top cut, then Dustin would have, too. If Jordan would have won against Blake. What about the one time those guys were contesting the...
Oh, jeez. It was the previous World Series tournament. And Russ printed out the standings. And these two guys did not believe they did not top cut.
Yeah.
And they were going over the points and the tiebreakers and trying to figure it out. Come, you know what? Those guys, I bet you, are Magic players.
Yeah. I bet you they're originally Magic players trying to dabble in DBZ. Because they were just, I don't know.
Assholes.
Yeah, sorry, Dustin. I hate to keep calling you Bubble Boy, but at least you're ranked higher than me, so. I think it was Dustin, then Jordan, then me, and then did Sam didn't make it, huh?
No, he didn't.
Yeah,
it was either him or I making it, because I had to play Sam in the final round.
Yeah,
and there was no way I was going easy on him. I was like, these kids are not going to knock me out of top cut, because one time they did when I was playing Red Ginyu. Jordan beat me and knocked me out of
it. Well, that's your fault for playing Red Ginyu.
Yeah, he knocked me out of Top Cut, never again. So Sam had made a misplay. I said, who do you want to crit? And he said, Geese. I said, okay. And then he said, wait, can I change it to Goldo? I said, no, you can't. You already made your decision.
Yeah, and Geese was in your discard pile, huh? Already?
No, he was out. Oh. He didn't realize I was at one above and could
use Goldo. Oh, I see.
Yeah, so that was that. So when we talk about these ultra rares, these awesome ultra rares.
Or do you want to talk about the Yajirobe spoiler?
Oh, let's do that.
So we all know that Panini likes giving the weak Dragon Ball characters amazingly strong cards and power so people use them. Because at first glance, if you had a choice of playing Master Roshi or, like, let's say, Android 20, you'd say, oh, Android 20 is strong, I'll pick him. Or, like, Krillin or Cell. Oh, I'll play Cell. Cell's really good without seeing, like, the powers. So they like to beef him up. Yajirobe is going to be, like, amazingly good. I bet you they're going to bring him out this set. And I was joking around. I said, yeah, he's going to have a named attack called Yajirobe Sword Strike or something.
Right.
It's going to be a physical attack that's unstoppable. If aggressive sword drill is out, it's unpreventable. It does 7 life cards and plus 3 life cards for each card in your discard pile.
Something crazy like that.
Yeah, because all these Yamcha's, his cards are... Yamcha's such a little bitch, too.
Yeah.
Because he hates combat. He always wants to get out. Those cards, when you hit him, it's a beatdown deck's worst nightmare. Oh, I'll take 2 life cards. Oh, wait, I'll end combat first turn.
I could say that I don't think I've ever lost a tournament where I had to go up against Yamcha, so that's
yeah, that's you got thankful. That going. Well, because set 5 personalities really can't harm Ginyu.
Yeah, or can they? There's another there's a case tournament coming up this weekend, and we think we have a set 5 personality
that could take it.
So
it is going to be blue protective. We could tell you that, but it is a set 5 blue protective deck, and it's. We're testing it this weekend, so look out for that.
Yeah.
Worst ultra rares? 3 worst ultra rares. I mean, the ultra rares are supposed to be something like a sphere. That's a good ultra rare. They need that power, that oomph. And
that's something you can't get from another card.
Exactly. And some of the ultra rares that I've seen out there, it's like, whoa, is the spheres, of course. Dig is really good. That's like one of the best ones. Visage, even though it's limit 1 per deck, that's a game changer right there.
Look, I was just playing against Jordan earlier. He visaged me, but I still won.
Yeah.
But still, it is a game changer. So we're not going to include personalities because we know those suck automatically because they're just alt.
Yeah, cards. The Goku and the Vegeta. So, I don't even know how those cards are worth money.
Yeah, I mean, they should... $5 most, yeah. Max. So, number 3?
Villainous Empowerment.
You got it. You guys know what that does. Endurance 2. Event. Search your life deck for a drill, style drill, and put it into play. Setups and drills lose all effects combat.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right? Banish after use?
I think so.
Of course. Horrible card.
And your drill comes in play at the end of combat, right?
No, it's in play. It's just your power is turned off.
Yeah.
Until the end of combat.
And it's grab a style drill. It's not even grab a freestyle. If it was freestyle...
Yeah, it wouldn't be on the list.
It wouldn't be on the list. Because there's hardly any cards out there besides like Android 20 that gets a freestyle drill. I think Orange has a card that gets a freestyle drill, too.
Of course they do. Orange Crap Drill. This card is considered to be styleless.
Yeah.
What's number 2?
Heroic Dashing Punch.
Oh, you went there.
Yeah. I mean, it's okay.
Heroes only. Hit, or does 5 power stages. Hit, if... your opponent cannot gain anger in this combat. It's a hit effect.
Yeah.
If it weren't a hit effect,
it wouldn't be on the list.
No, it wouldn't. Number one on the list?
I hate to say it, but Power Mimic.
You don't hate to say it. Power Mimic is just so situational. It's not even funny.
It was built just for one person.
And it... Basically, I said an Ultra Rare should be a card that doesn't do anything else. Power Mimic just copies a card that... It could copy a common. So...
Yeah, a common drill. And it's... And it copies your own style drill.
It's not even freestyle?
I don't think so.
Okay. Yeah, your own... Now, if it was a like any style drill... It would have been number three on the list.
Or even like, yeah, your opponent. Like, yeah. If they have smoothness drill or something.
Yeah.
But why not just run acquisition drill and get their...
Oh, and that's a common too, so...
Yeah, I know they were trying to go back to Krillin's Power Tap, which was good in the old game if you used it. But... I don't know, it just seems Power Mimic's... Built for one personality and one style, so
and one person to play it,
one human person, one real life person.
So we're going to talk about the regional.
Yeah.
So back in 2000, geez, it must have been 2003, right when
right when Sam was born.
Super 17 came out. Ugh. The Super 17 set from GT. So in May, Memorial Day weekend, this place called Kublai Khan over in San Francisco always puts on a huge con.
Convention.
Yes, a gaming convention. And of course they were having a DBZ regional there.
Is it San Francisco or is it Burlingame?
Same thing.
Okay.
So we decided we were going to go. Now, of course, me being single and didn't have any responsibility, I was like, let's go. What about you? Did you have to fight to go?
Yeah, you were like, let's go spend like a week there.
Did I?
Yeah. And I just had Sam, and Karen was, she's been a type 1 diabetic for, since she was 8, and now she's 34, so 26 years. At the time, she has hard pregnancies, and the babies are always born early, and they're always in the NICU for a few weeks. Sam was in the NICU for 6 weeks. And I had to beg to go. I mean, she's really good. She never holds me back at anything. But I know I've got to spend my time and pick my tournaments. But that was a tournament I really wanted to go to. Because I missed out on the last one. When you went to LA with Josh.
Yeah.
And... So I was like, screw it, let's go. We're going to go. We'll stay a night. We ended up getting a room, which my wife wasn't happy with because I was supposed to come back.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Our plan was to go there, play in the regional. No, go there, stay the night at someone's house, go to the regional, then come home.
Right.
But then Ake's like, hey, guys, I've got a Majin Buu pre-release coming up tomorrow. And we were like, oh, shit.
Let's do this.
We need to do this. And I didn't even call my wife, which was the worst part.
So, wait. So, it was 17. So, they were just doing a release event with the Majin Buu stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
Pre-release.
It wasn't a pre-release, though, because Buu was already released.
Yeah.
Okay, so they were just doing a sealed event.
Yeah.
Okay, got it. So, we pick up Josh... Majin Murmur, and we are heading out to
Benicia? San Rafael?
No, it was some like a little bit outside of the Bay Area. I don't know exactly
San where. San Ramon?
Was it? Yeah.
One of those sand places.
And we ended up staying with some other people who play DBZ, Henry and Juan. Do you remember whose house it was?
I think it was Juan's.
Okay. And on the way there, of course, Josh just had to put in Slayer.
Ugh.
And he wanted to blast it the whole way, and I turned it down, like, eventually, like, little by little until you couldn't hear it. And we just started talking about DBZ, and it was only, like, an hour and a half drive, so it wasn't too bad.
No.
So we get to Henry and Juan's, and they went to playtest, like, through the night for this regional.
Yeah, I just wanted to get some sleep.
Yeah, and we're not really big night owls, so we just wanted to sleep and get some rest before the tournament. And then you had made the mistake in saying what?
Well, we were talking about Dragon Ball stories, and I said, hey, remember that one guy who used to come up and he came down and played with us, and he wore flannel jackets with his sleeves cut off?
And he was a hick.
And he was a hick and a hillbilly.
And we, like, Josh and I looked at Brad with these big round eyes, because that was Henry
who
was in the room with us. And Brad was like, wasn't that funny, guys?
And you guys are just looking at me like,
We said, that was Henry. And then you were like, yeah.
Yeah, I know.
And then Full Metal Jacket over there didn't catch on, because he looked like he was straight out of Full Metal Jacket, crazy Marine type guy. So we get some rest. They stay up all night and play DBZ. And then we're on our way to the tournament, and we had to stand in line to get a ticket to get into the con.
Yeah, because you had to buy your registration first for the convention, and then you could go to the game room.
I don't think pre-reg was around back then, because it was like it all had to be done by phone, because there was hardly any internet.
Yeah.
So we get there early, we get our stuff done, and then John and Passam, who used to play in our locals back then, showed up. And Passam got a discount entry, because it was like $25 for that day, and then the tournament cost like $20 or whatever. Yeah. So he got a discount on his Kublai Khan ticket. Do you remember how?
Did he say he was dressed as a Mexican Klingon?
Yeah, he had the M on his forehead for Majin, and it made him look like kind of like a Klingon. So that's what he said, and he got like 25% off his ticket or something.
Yeah.
So that was pretty cool. We got to play in my second regional, Brad's first, and that's where I played my Piccolo Namekian Dragon's Victory deck. Caught a lot of people off guard. Made it to top cut. I think it went top 32 and then top 16, etc.
Yeah.
I lost in top 16 to an orange Supreme West Kai deck, because his friend cheated and told him what deck I was playing. Like, I had Dragon's Victory in hand, and then he was searching his deck for a drill and pulled Caught Off Guard drill and didn't know what to name. And apparently his friend said Dragon's Victory, and that's what he named.
Yeah.
So, what'd you take?
Black Krillin.
Which mastery?
Freestyle.
Black Krillin Freestyle Mastery.
I mean, not Black Krillin. Freestyle Krillin.
Okay. How'd that do?
It went horrible. Basically, it was an anger race to get to level 3, where each physical attack did, or each attack did plus 1 power stage for each named card in your discard pile. So I loaded that deck with so many named cards. It was so bad.
Did you have Raditz? What was that, Raditz?
Raditz Energy Burst?
Yeah.
Oh, you know I did. Yeah. I had like almost every single named card in that deck. If I would have got to level 3 and hit, it would have done some damage, but no. The one memory I have is I went up against this guy who was playing Blue Android 17. And, of course,
Super 17? Or
normal? I think, yeah, Super 17. And, of course, he had GT cards where energy attacks did like 17 life cards or whatever. And he goes, huh, I'm glad I put this in my deck. And he played Stunned. I was so mad.
Krillin, Piccolo, and Trunks cannot attack or block this combat.
Yeah. And that just blew the wind out of my sails. Didn't have a sphere to stop it.
That sucks.
Yep. So they stopped for... they gave us a lunch break. And there was a depressing-ass Sizzlers across the street. It was so bunk, but it was the only place that we could walk to, so that's where we ate.
Yeah, it was in between Top Cut and the last round ending, so we went there, and they said, add colossal shrimp to your plate for like $8.
And you added it, huh?
Oh, heck yeah, I did. I was like, colossal shrimp? That's what I'm talking about. The shrimp was only like 4 inches long. Nothing colossal about it. I felt so gypped.
It's an oxymoron.
Yeah.
Colossal shrimp.
Seriously.
So we ended up staying the night and played in a sealed event. Wife wasn't too happy about that.
When did you tell her? Before we got the room or after?
I told her the next day.
What? So did she wait up for you to get home?
She said she did.
Uh-huh.
And I said, well, you know, I didn't really want to call because I didn't want to get in trouble.
Did you blame it on me and say I was staying regardless and held you hostage?
I said, we don't get to come up here very much, and they're really big tournaments, and I just played that card. And I didn't think you'd mind if it was just one more day. Good thing Josh didn't throw anything out of the window that time. I think he learned his lesson. Did he even come to the room?
I don't know. I think he stayed up all night with Ake because he told everyone that he was Ake's apprentice.
Yeah. I remember that.
And so he was, like, being buddy-buddy with them.
Yeah.
Yeah, he didn't come up to the room and toss anything out the room window. I feel like we had more people with us, though, other than you and me in the room.
I don't know, maybe. Maybe John and Sam.
Yeah, maybe.
So we've got a big case event coming up for you guys who want to check out Forgotten Path Games. They keep wanting to push this NorCal-SoCal tournament. I'm so over that. I mean, what have these people got to prove?
I have no idea. California's just California.
Yeah, it's...
I don't know. You don't see people in Texas going, who's better, West Texas or East Texas?
Yeah, Dallas or Houston. Yeah, even though the Cowboys are way better than the Oilers. Are the Oilers still in Houston?
I have no idea.
Okay.
And then you've got, like, this... I don't know. I think it's the SoCal players, mostly, who's trying to figure out who's the best and...
Yeah, they even asked who the best people to play in NorCal were. I mean, what does it matter?
Yeah, seriously.
It's not like if you beat them once, you're going to be better than them.
Maybe say, who's the best player to beat at this shop? Because we're all California, come on.
Yeah, it's not... I don't look at it as NorCal and SoCal. And even if they did a tournament, I told Lance and Russ and Dustin I wouldn't even participate in it. Because I really have nothing to prove. We're all California.
Yeah.
Because no matter if your area code's 916, 530, or 714, we're all the same. We're all California.
619!
Yeah. So let's go to this case event. It's going to be fun. April 16th?
Yep.
Cool. It's next weekend.
Dustin's going to be there from California Comedy House. Russ will be there.
Of course. Buck will probably be there.
Aaron Pavon, the boys from Fresno and Redding. I don't
know what they're eating. Mark.
I'm sure he'll be there.
Junior. Come meet Junior. He's hilarious.
Yeah. Purple Shirt, a.k.a. Purple Shirt, the kid. He's not the Monster Bill, though, is he?
No.
He's on his own level. So... I think that'll do it for this episode of Pod Z CCG. This is Brandon.
This is Brad.
Until next time, keep rocking the dragon.